A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Henry Hill, Daniel Ellsberg, Joey Devine, Karen Silkwood, Sammy the Bull Gravano, Smedley Butler, Sean Keane, Jeffrey Wigan, Frank Serpico, special guest Dave Dufour, Patreons Jordan Smith, thank you Jordan, Scott Leedy, thank you Scott, Lee Fischetti, thank you Lee, musical guest Tekashi69, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my very good friend, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, doing well, doing well.
Before we get to our guest, who's patiently listening, just some business off the top. RoundRockPod@gmail.com is our email. Follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod. 5-star reviews on iTunes only, please, because it's the only review, amount of stars they'll let you give. It's weird, I know. We have the link for our TeePublic store if you want to buy a t-shirt in the description to this podcast. We've got all kinds of great merch. Patreon.com/RoundRockPod. And I think that's it, right, Sean?
I think that's it, yeah.
All right. Well, let's bring on our guest real quick. The host of, what's the show called now? It's the NBA show on The Athletic. Well, he'll get it right. It's our good friend, Dave Dufour.
It's the Athletic NBA show.
God damn it.
Very difficult, I know. Very difficult to remember. What's up, guys? I got to say, a huge fan. Happy to be mentioned in the same breath as Smedley Butler. big Smedley Butler guy.
So, Dave,
there was underrated a plot against the Roosevelt administration.
Underrated wingspan.
So Dave, what's it like to be in the midst of a rebrand of a podcast right now?
You know, actually this is I think it's a good idea. We're taking the opportunity, like we really looked at all the data and we said, hey, this just makes sense. Why not put everyone on one feed, reminiscent of, you know, simpler times, but a one-stop shop with mainly me, like the important guy on the feed, you know, Sam Amick, David Aldridge, you know, Zach Harper,
Ethan Sherwood, Big Waz,
Ethan Strauss, Marcus Thompson, not as big of a deal as having Dave Dufour on your podcast feed. So, you know, I know they're all really excited to be mentioned with me. You know, it's good for them, you know.
So the show's staying the same, right? It's
same
just
show.
On
yeah.
a different feed. Or am I even going to have to change my feed?
No. So the back-to-back feed has now changed to the Athletic NBA show. Mm-hmm. Nerder, She Wrote has moved to Friday. Basketball Buds has moved to Monday. But every single day, you're going to get something a little bit different. And I actually think that's kind of a good idea, you know, when you're covering the league the way that we do at the Athletic from all of these different angles. It just makes sense to have our podcast kind of reflect that.
I, you know what? It makes sense. If any people more famous than us, we're looking for four podcasts to add to our feed. So let us know, Zach Lowe, Nate Duncan, Ben Golliver. We want to combine with
lower
you guys.
Yeah, on the totem pole than you, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So
that was my move. I want to be a rising tide for these up and comers.
You really got to pull up like David Aldridge.
That's right.
A man who I think percentage-wise got more screen time than anyone not on the Chicago Bulls in The Last Dance.
I know. And by the way, I love that guy so much. But yeah, no, it's actually kind of surreal to be like, all right, well, this is, you know, this is our podcast. And when I'm talking to David Aldridge, you know, it's fun. I'm excited about it. I'm actually really pumped. I think, you know, Jade Hoy did a great job with the trailer. Like I thought that you could put that trailer in front of someone, that 1 minute trailer, and they could get an idea of what they're in for from the shows. And the artwork is fantastic. It reminds me of an old science textbook,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very into.
You're into textbooks. We know this about you.
Yeah, I love textbooks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. History textbooks.
Dave loves to
learn.
Deal.
That's right.
So, Dave, the reason we have you here is, look, Sean and I have spent a fair amount of time complaining about how the bubble sucks, and I wish it wasn't happening, but basketball is still happening, so we wanted to talk to you, the only person we know who actually knows anything about basketball, about the basketball that's going to be happening in the bubble. So let's start with where the NBA was at before the bubble started. So here's a drop for previously on the NBA.
Previously on the NBA.
Welcome to Memphis, Anthony Tolliver.
Security guy, they're all, this comes from the top. He says, Mr. Lee, you have to leave Madison Square Garden.
Shake Milton with 39 points, a career high in 39 minutes, has had a game that he'll never forget.
What do you do with your basketball players that are making $25 million a year?
I have two of them that make 40. Russell and James.
By the way, they are good players.
All right, Dave. So here are some major stories that were happening in March before we left. We thought maybe we could talk about Ben Simmons possibly out for the season with a back injury. That's probably not going to affect anybody. Okay, what about...
He came back as a power forward now, though, which really fills the need with the Sixers. They really did not have that four spot covered. But
if only they were spending $40 million on power forwards.
It's way, way more than that.
Is it 60 now? How many? Oh, okay, well,
Their front court is making something like... Well, if you count Simmons, it's like $120 million.
Well, I was trying to count just Horford and Harris, but I guess Mike Scott also makes like $7 million probably.
Horford and Harris, it's probably like 65 combined,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. All right, so, okay, that one didn't work. All right, what about Rudy Gobert promised that he would do justice to justify the next time he got ejected. Sounds like he was going to get pretty reckless.
Uh-huh.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was so mad. Rudy Gobert had a much that it's too bad that the COVID stuff is going to eclipse the maniacal year he had. He had that uncalled goaltend at the end of a game. He kept getting ejected. He was disrespected the whole time. But now it's
teammates wouldn't pass him the ball.
Yeah. And now he's just going to be known as the Typhoid Mary of the NBA. And that's kind of unfair to his legacy of jackassery in 2020.
Oh, man. That's a shame. It's a real shame. I mean, he clearly was working hard on that end of the court. The annoying end.
Okay. What about, all right, this one, I think this one's going to affect what's going to happen here. Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
The Brooklyn Nets fired Kenny Atkinson, a move that might really destabilize their team.
God, think of how happy Kenny Atkinson must be in hindsight. Full salary, relieved like a month before the play. Like, he's got to have been so much more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to go to the bubble, and he doesn't have to decide whether or not to cut Michael Beasley, who they haven't signed yet, but we're going to sign, but who also tested positive for COVID.
Uh-huh.
Very cool stuff going on in the bubble with the Nets.
Also, he's like a he's like a master bread maker now, too. Yeah. It's really cool. And then he can just isn't someone gonna hire him pretty quickly too? I mean, I guess probably not for next year. Yeah,
we'll see. Everything is so up in the air. Like when I'm asking around and talking to people, some of the coaches that we expected to maybe lose their jobs, you know, I know you guys have noticed that Jim Boylan's still the coach of the Bulls. Because next season is so up in the air. You know, like we focus quite a bit on whether they're going to be able to pull off this bubble. I'm way more concerned about them being able to pull off next season than I am a bubble. Mm-hmm. And with all that up in the air, like, would you want to fire a coach that's under contract, a guaranteed contract?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So I actually think that coaches who are already under contract should feel pretty safe. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what it means for the Knicks because, you know, they can just print money. So who cares? Will they go the cheaper route and maybe just retain Mike Miller for another season while they're keeping the powder dry, hoping to get Giannis in the next free agency?
They're going to sign Tibbs.
Or are they going to go ahead and sign Tibbs?
Yeah.
Tibbs is kind of hooked up with Leon Rose, right?
Yeah. That was his. Well, not technically his agent, but they're close.
And same agency. I did hear that Jason Kidd blew them away in an interview, which probably involved like spilling coffee and then using it as like a teachable moment. Like,
right. This like, here's what our offense is going to look like using Legos or something. You know, you throw the Legos on the court, players slip on them, you know, something like that. Something.
Everybody's a building block of a Lego.
All right, Dave, what about this one? Julius Randle was lighting up the league with 33 points in an OT win over the Hawks. Is that going to matter?
No,
he's on the Knicks.
Has he done anything that really matters?
Julius Randle?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think this is indicative at all of maybe Montrezl Harrell's market?
See, now that's interesting. I think Trez is a better player, clearly. But I've also watched numerous basketball people just, you know, kind of racking their brains, finding ways to plug Julius Randle into these like versatility roles because he can handle the ball without dribbling it off of his foot. Mm-hmm. He's still going to only do it with one hand. Right. So like he's so left hand dominant. That I actually think that he's a much worse player than Trez Harrell. Trez like gets results. Maybe he doesn't have the same skill that Julius has, but the results are better.
Here's
you can plug him into more.
Here's my Julius question. is Julius Randle maybe actually just like a super, like a Carl Landry, like a new super Carl Landry, yeah, where it's like, oh, this guy is going to score a shit ton of points off the bench as your first big off the bench, but he can't really guard.
He's not
starters.
Like in your closing, yeah, not
right.
Yeah.
Because he can't guard. Mm-hmm. And his offense is.
And he's black hole.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, his offense is very one dimensional. It's not like he's elevating the play of the guys around him. And with that being said, I don't hate watching him when he's got stuff going. But it's just that when he doesn't have stuff going, you can watch he's basically sinking the team because he is a black hole. Be curious how many passes he averages a game.
All right, finally. Okay, I know this one's going to matter in our first section of previously, our inaugural section of previously on the NBA. All right. Biggest story when the NBA left, we should talk about it. It's gonna matter. Steph Curry is back. I don't think I think that last game we saw Steph Curry play is maybe gonna be his only game of basketball for 2 years, maybe.
God. And he was 6 of 16. Man, does he still have it?
Yeah, it could be gone.
All I'm saying is that from the 1st of November till mid-March, he shot 25% from three. I mean, it's a pretty large sample size from the calendar.
Yeah, it is from 25%. The calendar. Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's a little bit like the president saying, more white people are killed by police.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, listen, can you be the greatest shooter of all time if you have a season where you shoot 24.5% from three? That's God, what he did.
That's awful.
Mm. Yeah.
No, he lost it.
Clearly.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, toast.
Completely ignore that the lowest he had ever had for a single season was 41% on 10 attempts a game previously. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
what have you done for me lately?
Rest in peace, Steph Curry.
Away.
Now, instead, he's just one of America's great television game show producers.
Is he the worst contract in NBA right now?
It's either Klay Thompson or Steph Curry, according to what I've been reading recently.
All right, and our final
and one final
final previously on the NBA. LeBron James adamantly states he will not play in any games if the fans are not there.
I gotta say the Lakers title chances have taken a hit in my opinion
because he's not gonna play in
with
any
this
of these
news
games
from yet. March. This news from March 10th. 2020. People are kind of sleeping on it, I think.
Yeah, it's been underreported from the bubble, I have to say. And with no LeBron, no Rondo, you know, who's gonna pound the leather off the ball for this team?
Kuzma, right?
No, it's gonna be just
the new point guard.
Oh yeah, it's actually, oh right, wait. It's Dion Waiters is their new point guard. Right?
They got Dion Waiters.
Yeah. I actually
cue Dion doing jumping jacks, waving for the basketball.
I actually have a hot take, though. I think Dion Waiters is going to be really good for the Lakers.
I think he is too.
I really want him to, but like all of the indicators are negative. Like
he's going to be so wide open.
He will be wide open. It's just. It's tough when a guy gets three different suspensions from his team and one of them was fitness related when there was no quarantine.
Yeah, but he had the ankle injury.
Yeah. I mean, I really want him to do well.
Also, the Heat were running a scam on him.
Right.
Because he had a games played bonus in his contract.
I'm sorry, but you know, getting suspended because somebody can't handle the edibles that you gave him. How, like, come on.
I mean, look, he was the one. He's the victim in that crime.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
he got dosed.
And, right. How did he know?
You know what? Speaking of, since we're talking, and he didn't snitch. Deion's going to be good. Look, the last time Deion Waiters played meaningful basketball, he was actually pretty good. Which was in the 3-1 loss to the Golden State Warriors.
Right. He shows up for the playoffs.
Yeah. Man. And he plays good defense, too, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
look, I really hope he does well.
And
I just,
he does not snitch on the people who give him weed. Unlike our top story.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
Which is Shams yesterday tweeted that multiple people have been calling the NBA player COVID snitch hotline, which weirdly, their number must be one number off from our Round Ball Rock phone number, because we've weirdly been getting a lot of NBA snitch-related calls. I think people think they're calling the NBA snitch line, Adam Silver's secret snitch line, but they're calling us instead. Here's just a selection of those calls now.
Hi, this is LP. I'm calling to report that I saw Kurt Rambis at the buffet, at the salad bar thing. He stuck his hands into the thing without using the tongs to eat mushrooms, and I'm sure that is against protocol. I haven't seen that specifically, but first of all, there probably shouldn't even be a salad bar, to be honest with you. It seems not good, but I just want to let you know Rambis was doing that, and I actually saw Pelinka go over to where some of the Clippers were sitting, and he sneezed all over the chairs before they came to sit down. So just to let you know about those offenses I saw in the dining area.
Hey, this is Javier, the Postmate. I'm calling for Rashawn Holmes again. Look, I went to the South parking lot. You weren't there. I went to the North parking lot. You weren't there. And, look, dude, your long cut Silvers is getting cold. I've got another job that I'm supposed to do. So could you just come out and maybe meet me at the parking lot or something? I'm in a Kia Altima. It's purple, and there's an Orlando Magic flag hanging from the deck. Please, bro, I've been out here for 35 minutes.
Oh, hello? NBA hotline? Mr. Silver? I was calling to ask you if your refrigerator was running. Shut up. Yeah, is your refrigerator running? Well, you better go friggin' catch it!
Hi, y'all. This is Tillman. I mean, this is a man named Bill. Bill, Frittata. Yeah, like the egg dish. I've heard all the jokes. Anyway, I'm calling to report a delivery violation of the food rules of the quarantine bubble. I saw some NBA players flagrantly breaking the rules of the bubble, ordering from a restaurant called the Claim Jumper. That ain't Morton's, Palm, Saltgrass Steakhouse, Del Frisco's, the Ocean Air, or Joe's Crab Shack, the only 6 licensed delivery restaurants of the quarantine, as certain people were promised. Now, I don't know what the punishment is. I don't know if you step on the violating player's throat, maybe you cut their throats, whatever you need to do. But I want to get that information out there. And I also want to say that I recently ate at Joe's Crab Shack, and I did not get any gastrointestinal distress, so I'm not entirely sure what Evan Fournier's Yelp review was exactly complaining about. All right. Also, Adam, I need to borrow $235. They're going to turn off my phone. Come on, Kanish. Help me out.
Well, some of those calls were pretty weird, guys. Let's actually talk about this bubble, though, Dave. Dave, you've coached basketball, right?
I have. Not in the NBA, but
right,
yes,
of
I
course
have.
Not. Yep. Well, look, I don't want to, you know, give a certain angry scout any ammunition in case you ever fight with him. What do you think the basketball is going to look like going into the bubble?
You know, I'm of a couple of minds on this, and I have no way of knowing. This is just me taking my experience and projecting it. I think that the offense is going to be mostly fine for the teams that like the Mavs, the Rockets, the Lakers that have simplified schemes.
Mm-hmm.
Based around one guy, it's going to be about whether players can make shots, and I think these guys are going to be fine after a few weeks in the gym, right? Mm-hmm. Shooting wise, I think it's going to be fine. But I think the defense is going to be god awful.
Yeah,
from not just from an execution standpoint, but from an effort standpoint, I think you're going to see a bunch of teams taking huge chunks of the game off on the defensive end.
Well, and it's just going to prove. That my Twitter account Celtics Chance actually is what makes them play good defense at home.
It is going to be like, I have to say, there's been so much old classic basketball on TV and people kind of half-assing it on defense in the playoffs is like a hallmark of the golden age of basketball. Yes. Like don't you think? Like you
no,
watch
those
some
guys
of those
were actually
Lakers
trying. They were just
games.
Bad. They were just bad. Also, nobody could shoot, so your defense like didn't even really have to be all that effective.
Yeah,
you know. Oh yeah, he locked him up. No, he didn't. That guy just is garbage.
Yeah, I was looking at we have a future reader question about Jerry West coming up, and it's so interesting. How the Lakers offense just craters when Wilt Chamberlain arrives because Jerry West being able to shoot from like 18 feet was just this game changing thing. And when the lane got clogged up, it was like it was like a weird version of the Warriors offense, but like in by like 6 feet. Does that make sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's like, well, you just put three big guys in the lane and then Jerry West couldn't get to the hoop.
Man, basketball is so awful.
So where do you think the rust is actually going to show up the most? On defense, or is it going to be fitness or shooting?
Well, the fitness is going to be rough, right? Like even the guys who have managed to stay in good physical shape, the game shape is a totally different thing. I know this is a common talking point that you're going to hear. If you haven't already heard it too much, but the game shape is different. Like we see this every year. There's a reason why they use those preseason games to ramp up. There's a reason why the first week of the NBA season looks really rough. First couple weeks sometimes. You know, it's sort of like, you know, in baseball where the hitters will sometimes be ahead of the pitchers in April.
Yes.
So you'll get guys that'll hit like 15 home runs in a month in April. Or May.
Right.
Yeah, that was like every single year if you just traded for Barry Zito at the end of April.
Right.
He was always like super undervalued because it just took him forever to get in shape. And then he's like fine to really good the rest of the season.
Yeah. And so I think there's going to be some of that because of the conditioning. And in particular, guys are going to take those breaks in the game on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. It's just as the nature of the NBA. That's how it works. So I do think that we're going to see a lot of offense. I think the defense is going to be bad. The communication is going to be, you know, off. rotations are going to be off, just like you would see at the start of a normal season, but amplified because these guys haven't been in the gym at all for months. So I do think that offensively, it's going to be a lot of fun. These games are going to be wide open. I think the pace is going to wind up being higher than what we see on a usual basis because these guys have been out of the gym so long. I think we're going to get like almost like an overexuberance to be out there playing. And guys are going to be playing fewer minutes. So they're going to be trying to get the most bang for their buck when they're out there. So, you know, I expect this to look a lot like preseason, these eight lead up games, even for teams that are fighting for seeding. I don't anticipate seeing James Harden play 40 minutes until the first round of the playoffs, for instance.
And I have heard this referred to as overly horny basketball before.
Yeah.
Like you just want to get those shots up so bad.
Right. Yeah. And for some guys, that's going to be a good thing. Like the guys that probably should be shooting more, like Nikola Jokic, for instance, like I hope that he's got a little bit of basketball horniness in him.
Yeah.
At the bubble, because he sometimes won't shoot until the fourth quarter. So hopefully he's like, man, I've got to get these shots up. But then you have cases like, you know, like Dion Waiters, where maybe you don't want him to do that.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, I do think that it's going to be weird for us, especially those of us that watch probably too much basketball. It's going to look pretty different.
It's going to look like preseason, right?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be preseason, but juiced up. And you know, maybe even a little bit worse because of the conditioning issues. That being said, I have no idea. That it's actually kind of exciting from that standpoint for a basketball nerd, because I don't know what to expect out of these guys. I'm really just projecting and taking wild guesses. So until we actually get to see this first crop of games in 2 weeks, anybody's guess is as good as mine on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to knock my own expertise, but I swear.
So how do you think coaches will game plan guys not being in top shape? Like, how do you exploit that strategy-wise, you think?
Well, the pace can help. If you feel like your team is closer to full game shape than the other team, pick up the pace. Try to get them winded. Try to get them to have to adjust their game plan and their rotations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think you're going to see a lot more quick rotation changes, though. So you might, if a player, let's say he normally plays the first 10 minutes of the first quarter, I'm guessing that guy maybe plays the first five or six until they build up a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get, let's say, you know, like Chris Paul, if you can get Chris Paul run out of the game at minute five because he's just not quite in shape, that's a big advantage, because now you're, you know, they don't have Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench. So now, you know, who I don't even know who their fourth guard is off the top of my head. So that's a big advantage that you could have. And in particular for teams that are actually going to be playing for something, like, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, who don't want to be the seventh seed and run into the Clippers in the first round. So I do think that there are ways that you can game it, but it's very much going to be dependent on how you feel internally about your own conditioning and stuff. Cause the last thing you want to do is just, you know, blow your load early on trying to get an advantage. And then, you know, fourth quarter comes around, and if you've set minute limits, you've already hit them, or your guys are so gassed from, you know, from pushing the pace that they're just too worn out to finish the job. So it's going to be a lot more coaching by gut. And this is where the experienced coaches are going to have a big advantage. You know, and like, I'm actually really excited to watch Coach Pop in this environment. He doesn't have LaMarcus Aldridge to lean on.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have to play the young guys more, just again, by virtue of the situation, nobody being in shape. And look, I want to see.
We know on the podcast, by the way, that Marco Bellinelli has been eating lots and lots of spaghetti in quarantine. We determined that, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah. With
Spurs analysis.
Well, I mean, I think that we might finally see, you know, the White Walker Murray.
Oh, I love it! I love it.
You know, yes. I would like to see that for some extended run.
The great white big man in the middle, Jakob Poeltl.
Jakob Poeltl. That's right.
And, so Trey Lyles, their starting power forward.
I would play DeMar DeRozan at the four in that lineup.
Hell yeah.
By the way, you mentioned Schroeder real quick. Shouts to Dennis Schroeder for leaving the NBA bubble to be a good dad. That quote was tight. He's leaving because his wife's in 3 to 4 weeks, he's going to leave because his wife's having a new baby. And his quote was, quote, "I'm not going to leave my wife by herself while she's having a second baby. Dennis Jr. is still 17 months old, so I'm for sure going to go there and support her and try as much as I can to be there for my family." Good job, Dennis Schroeder. Fuck the bubble. I just have to say it again.
Well,
Gordon Hayward also doing the same thing, Joey. Yeah, we gotta give it up for.
Gonna leave.
He also
says
he's going back in like 4 days. That doesn't make any sense. How's he like not gonna be contaminated? Like the incubation period for COVID is shorter if you have a doctor's note. That's not real. That's not a thing.
Look, there is no way the Haywards believe in wearing masks. Let's just be honest on this one.
That's true. He's splashing himself with here's a question. Does Gordon Hayward have to put hand sanitizer on his genitals? I feel like yes, right?
That is certainly a question. Because you said did or does.
Before we get to specific teams, let's hear some more snitch calls we've somehow been getting.
Okay, what the hell? I'm back in the dining area, and I called reporting these guys the other day, and I see right now Kurt Rambis is putting his fingers and grabbing the little baby corns. Okay? I don't see Pelinka, but I'm sure whatever he's doing is sketchy and probably against protocols. I don't get why they're still here. You know, I haven't seen any. I have no reason to believe that they've been reprimanded. Please, this is serious. This is all going to fail if you don't do something about this.
Hi, this is Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics, and I'm actually calling to self-report a violation that I committed. No, I didn't break the quarantine rules, but I did have lustful thoughts about a woman who was not my wife. I apologize to the Boston Celtics fans, to my wife Robin, to the NBA itself. It was Ari, the demon fox from League of Legends. She seduces men in order to prey on their life energy. I know that she's animated and fictional, but I've still betrayed my wife, and as such, I will be isolating for the next 10 to 14 days with a large poster of Ari, the aforementioned demon fox from League of Legends. Thanks.
Hi, it's me, an anonymous caller. I'm just calling to let you know that the Milwaukee Bucks power forward DJ Wilson has broken quarantine several times and should be ejected from the league because Anthony Randolph is available and coronavirus free. Also, just cancel the season, man. This is ridiculous. But sign Anthony Randolph first.
Hello, I'm a salesman doing market research for friggin' Disney, and I was wondering if you had Prince Albert in a can. Shut up, Brooke. No, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Oh, you better friggin' let him out.
Hey, it's me, B.L. Simmons from Grantland and The Ringer. Hey, I'm just calling to warn you. I know, Adam, you're doing a really good job dealing with all this coronavirus. And for me, I gotta say, I think the coronavirus has entered the Tyson Zone. But anyway, you should start another hotline for cancel culture. It's equally as dangerous as the coronavirus. And I can tell you, because I have recently been canceled. If you could give me Steven Jackson and Dwayne Wade's phone numbers so I could get them to sign a sports version of that Harper's Bazaar letter, it'd be greatly appreciated. Bye. Soup is the perfect food. I hope you serve soup in the bubble.
All right. So, Dave, what team do you expect to most thrive in the bubble, and why is it the Miami Heat?
Oh, do you mean playing basketball or just living?
I think from a, I asked that question based solely on I expect the Heat to be in the best shape. So I think it's more of a fitness level. But actually, what basketball wise, what team do you think is going to do best in the bubble?
I mean, I think that, like I said earlier, the teams with the more heliocentric offenses, Dallas, Houston, L.A., the Clippers, because their offense is just so funky. You know, it's formless to a certain degree, a lot of isolation. They're going to have a lot of success. Any team, the Bucks, any team with a short, I don't want to say learning curve, because they're not learning, but essentially a short curve to get to mastery of what they do offensively. So the less complicated your offense, the easier it is to jump right back in. Mm-hmm. You know, if your role is, I just got to run down the court, get to the corner and cut when the opportunities are available, that's a lot easier than, you know, hey, I got to go down and set this pin down screen, cut, you know, maybe come off a dribble handoff, like all of these things that you might have in a more motion based offense. So
what
like
you're
Boston,
saying is the Houston Rockets are going to win the NBA championship because their offense is so simple.
They have a puncher's chance. You know, if the one issue they've got is that you can't teach height, and some of the teams they're going to have to go through can just outbig them. But also like the Lakers, for instance, not only can they outbig you, but they have a small lineup that still outbigs you, because mm-hmm. LeBron right. and AD are massive people.
Mm-hmm. Even at the four, LeBron's
right.
big.
That's what I'm saying. Well, LeBron at the five would be bigger than any player the Rockets are going to run out in a closing lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at a certain point, that does become an issue. And when they struggled at post Clint Capella trade, it was their defense and then just getting hammered on the glass. And so if they can find a way around that, then yeah, they got a puncher's chance. I think the Mavericks have a puncher's chance because they can score like crazy. I mean, they had a historic offensive season this year. And so I just think that the high powered offenses have a real opportunity to make a lot of noise in this certain, you know, this special situation because of how much I am expecting the defenses to be suffering.
Uh-huh. So does that mean a team like the Philadelphia 76ers, a little bit limited on offense, theoretically great defense, but also unable to win outside of Philadelphia, you're not high on them?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, unless they just come back and their defense is just completely on point. And they do have Ben Simmons, who I think is one of the best defenders in basketball, and Joel Embiid, who's a fantastic rim protector. So they already have two individual pieces that should help their defense be ahead of the curve. Not a lot of teams have that, where you've got a, you know, an all-NBA defensive center and an all-NBA, you know, wing that can guard like Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. The Bucks, you know, obviously their defense is amazing. But like when you look at Utah, they have Rudy Gobert. So Rudy Gobert is going to have to do a lot of extra work because no one else is going to be up to speed. So, and again, I'm just guessing here on the defensive thing, but yeah, I think the Mavericks and the Rockets have a big opportunity to make some noise. I keep couching this, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't like
look,
it.
Look, we haven't seen anyone
no,
play basketball yet. These
suck.
Are just, yeah, these are just
that's right.
predictions.
The defenses
yeah.
are going to be awful. That's it. Done couching. The defense is going to be bad. The offense, I think, is going to be fine.
My next question is, do you have a hot take about the Memphis Grizzlies that you'd like to say on our show before you record with Fast Break Breakfast later today?
Yeah, I actually said this on Sam Vecini's show yesterday. I think of the teams that could potentially be the 8th seed in the West, the Grizzlies have the best shot of winning a game against the Lakers. And I know that includes Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers. But I just think that the Grizzlies are, you know, they've got a little bit of this like startup energy, if that makes sense. They've got a chip on their shoulder, which I really do like from them because it's basketball related, you know. The whole Iguodala thing really like endeared that team to me, with the young guys taking it personally, mm-hmm. that he didn't want to play with them. And I mean, they've got a healthy Jaren Jackson Jr. coming back, mm-hmm. who is, I mean, he's looking like Dirk Nowitzki as a big man shooter.
He was shooting so well this year.
Yeah. He had one of the greatest big man 3-point shooting seasons in NBA history.
Yeah, he's like if Karl Anthony Towns could play defense.
Well, and see, I think he's behind schedule on his defense. I've actually been disappointed with his defense. And part of that is just, you know, he needs to learn to play through fouls and not lose his aggressiveness, but he fouls way too much. So,
yeah,
know,
but he's still young. Better than Karl Anthony Towns.
He is better than Karl Anthony Towns there. but I just think that they have this opportunity because they can stay big with those guys. They can go small with those guys. They're clearly not better, but I think that they lose in a gentleman's sweep instead of a regular sweep. That's my hot Grizzlies take. Which isn't even really that hot. It's, you know, hey, they're going to win a game against the Lakers.
Well, actually, let's go through that. Let's go through the bottom teams here, actually. Which teams do you think is going to make the 8 seed in the quote-unquote West?
I think the Grizzlies are going to do it.
How dare you doubt my man Dame Dollar? You're gonna get a.
They're the most dangerous team in the playoffs in a short series, except for how they always lose short series.
Well, here's the thing: it's like there's a lot of hope being put on the shoulders of Yusuf Nurkic, who hasn't played in a year and a half,
and Zach Collins, don't forget,
due to a devastating injury, and Zach Collins, who played 3 games this season, mm-hmm. and you know. When we last saw him, wasn't all that great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked good in those 3 games. Don't get me wrong, but his last full season, it's not like he was. All right, this guy is the future of the franchise.
He's a dude that like theoretically can shoot well and probably should shoot well eventually, but hasn't really shot well.
Well, also, I think his defense is way more important than his offense for them. And there were a lot of signs in those 3 games that he's going to be a pretty good help side defender, which they obviously need because their wings and point of attack defense just not very good. But if Nurkic somehow comes back and hasn't missed a step, if Zach Collins looks like Kevin Durant on the defensive end for the Golden State Warriors in the championship years, if Damian Lillard does what I expect him to do and scores 400 points in those 8 games, and CJ McCollum can play the way he did when Damian Lillard was out with the back injury.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I still don't think they're making the playoffs because I still.
Well, who's their best wing defender right now?
Well, because Ariza's not there.
Right,
Ariza's not there.
It's probably Gary Trent.
I was going to say, is it Gary Trent Jr.?
And Gary Trent Jr. is good. Like, I actually think he's a starter.
Yeah, but he's also 6'4", right?
Exactly. He's a 2, and you know, like, and I don't really love, you know, differentiating between 2 and 3, but for these purposes, if I say you're guarding the 3, like at 6'4", you're gonna give up some size out mm-hmm. there. It's just how the NBA
is. Like, what, he's gonna guard LeBron and Kawhi?
Well, right, they don't have anybody. They don't have
Luka
anybody
or yeah,
whereas, you know, the Grizzlies have bodies they can throw at these guys.
John Conchar.
And they also have the foulingest player in the entire NBA, Dylan Brooks.
That's right. There you go.
It is crazy how much that guy fouls.
Is he the foulingest player in the league?
Well, he's leading the league in fouls by like 40.
Yeah, but you got to look at
28 minutes a game
or per 100 possessions.
It's going to be like a young big that will be leading that, but for a guy, I mean, it just seems like a massive lead in total fouls for a guy that
only plays 28 minutes
that
a game.
Many minutes.
Yeah, it's not like he's playing 38. You know what I mean?
Right. Like Jaren Jackson's at 6.8 fouls per 100 possessions.
Well, let's talk about the Pelicans then. What about the Pelicans?
Jaren Jackson. Okay, Dylan Brooks is number 2 to Jaren Jackson.
There you go.
In the permit.
The Pelicans, man, they're really interesting. And you know, I had a conversation with Vecini yesterday about it, and he said, man, that he would put their team minus Zion up against the Bucks minus Giannis head to head as far as talent goes. And it just kind of caught me off guard because I don't really think in those terms usually. And I start going down the list.
That's obvious to me, right?
Seth and Mo. Yeah, well, it's just not something I had thought about.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the moment, I was like, no way. But then after thinking about it for like, you know, about an hour talking to Mo and Seth, Pelicans are pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, they should be. It feels like it has not translated to the kind of success they should have with, like, you know, Holiday, Lonzo, Ingram, you know, Redick as the sixth man or seventh man. Zion, like it feels like they should have been better both with Zion out and even with Zion back. And they were pretty good with Zion back, but I mean, maybe it's just a matter of a bunch of guys on a new team that have not really played together as a whole very much. But it kind of feels like they've been underachieving.
Well, they were a different team in January, February, early March than they were October, November, December. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram was better.
Yeah.
Lonzo was better.
Lonzo wasn't hurt. Yeah.
Right. He wasn't hurt. Josh Hart, like, they're using Josh Hart as, like, this utility man, which I just, you know, like, it's kind of perfect for him. The fact that sometimes he was playing the four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy the amount of the strange players that play power forward for them this year.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they've also got Derek Favors, who could be, and I hate to do this, and I said this yesterday, I hate to do this NBA Twitter thing, but Derek Favors might actually be the most underrated player in the league, like the most underrated good player.
He's a hologram.
Yeah, but that's an advantage in the bubble because he can't get COVID because he's a hologram.
Also, the Pelicans have one of my favorite random guys, actually. I love Kenrich Williams for reasons I can't even really explain. And look, does he play? No, but he might. He might have to. And you know what he does? He shoots threes and gets rebounds. That's cool.
You know who really should be playing more? I've said it once. I'll say it again. I understand why he wasn't. They're developing players. There's a lot of players at his position. But you cannot go wrong with Etuan Moore minutes.
All right. We know you love Etuan Moore, Sean. All right.
39% three-point shooter. Come on.
All right. Dave's got to go in a couple of minutes here. So I want to ask one last question. Dave. What the fuck is going to happen at the bottom of the East, though? Because it's gross.
Well, nobody wants it.
Right.
Right? First of all, nobody wants to be the 8th seed, because you're going to have to play Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets didn't even send their team. Mm-hmm. They literally they put out flyers around Orlando just to pick up local guys.
The Wizards don't have their two best players.
Nope. And I mean, if you want to say John Wall, they don't have their three best players.
Sure.
But they do have Ish Smith.
Isn't Thomas Bryant out too?
Thomas Bryant, I think, is playing actually.
Oh.
But they do have Ish Smith. Are you betting against Ish Smith carrying them to the playoffs?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So they are six full games behind the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think they're going to catch the Magic. As a matter of fact, I think the Magic will probably wind up being the 7th seed, and Brooklyn will be the 8th seed. But they have a 6-game deficit from the Nets. They just need to be within 4 to force the play-in, which is then they have to then win 2 games against the zombie Nets.
Uh-huh.
I think the Wizards can make the playoffs.
You know what? Give me those Nets, baby.
I'm in.
I'm taking the weird Nets. I'm taking the weird Nets. Look, and I'll tell you why. Because this is going to be so weird, it doesn't matter. You might as well just have a team of random people.
Well, Caris LeVert is going to be heavily showcased.
Uh-huh. And we'll see what that turns into.
I was going to say, he is a very interesting trade chip for them if their goal is to get A, a couple of players that highlight their marquee players to a greater degree. Mm-hmm. So like 3-and-D wings, which he's not very good away from the ball. So he's a little bit extra when you've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
And Dinwiddie.
And Dinwiddie, right.
Three dudes who like the ball.
And Dinwiddie can actually play off the ball. But with LeVert, so showcasing him here is going to be great. But he also could be part of what gets them a third star if that's their goal. Mm-hmm. Because he just signed that new extension. So he's actually got some money on his contract. So they might be able to package a couple things and you know, move it for another max level player.
So you're saying I expect a lot of Karis. So if you're saying if he wants to stay in Brooklyn, he needs to really tank right here.
I don't know if he's going to. I don't know. So I look at it like March Madness. If he has a ridiculous like 8 to 10 games, mm-hmm. then, you know, teams will be calling for him. And maybe Karis LeVert wants to go to another team.
Yeah, that's true. He actually might want to. He probably does want to play more.
I want the Pistons. Spoiler alert for my Pistons Delete 8 piece that's going to come out on The Athletic tomorrow. I really want the Pistons to trade for Karis LeVert, but I also did mention every team should probably be trying to get Karis LeVert. Mm-hmm. So
I do think this is like all downside for Joe Harris, though. Like it's really not a good situation to showcase him right before he goes into free agency.
I mean, we'll see. Like, he's going to get a lot of pick and roll opportunities that just wouldn't have been there with Dinwiddie or Kyrie. And he's actually got a little bit more skill in the pick and roll than people realize. We know he can shoot. He can defend pretty well. I mean, Joe Harris is a guy that should probably get quite a bit of money this summer.
Before we talk about the top of the bracket real quick, I should mention, so no one gets mad at us, Dave, Sean, we forgot to mention the Kings, who are also in the hunt for the 8 seed.
Uh-huh.
And Kings fans will tell you they had a winning record against those Grizzlies, baby.
Great.
Okay.
They have the worst coach. They have the worst coach of the bunch.
Uh-huh.
The four teams that have a legitimate shot at the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
By far the worst coach.
Two of their four best players play the same position.
Right. They were playing their best basketball, mm-hmm. right? Once Fox got healthy, they were playing their best basketball.
It's just that basketball wasn't that great.
Right. And they may not have Harrison Barnes,
mm-hmm.
who's actually important for them because, yeah. you
Shouts
know, when
to
he,
our man, HB, get better, my man.
Yeah. Get better.
Love that guy.
Love HB. Realistic conception of HB, but we still love him.
Yes.
So yeah, I listen. The Kings are good and they're fun, but I just don't see them having a realistic chance. I think of the teams that are out, the Pelicans and Blazers have the best shot at catching the Grizzlies. I probably would lean. I'd lean Portland just because of Damian Lillard. If any team is going to force a playoff, I think that Dame could do it. Mm-hmm. But man, there's just so many variables we don't know.
He's so hot on the mic, right? That's why it doesn't even have to do with the court. It's because you love his rapping so much. Right?
He's going to destroy every opponent on the mic in a diss track, and then they're going to be powerless to stop him on the court.
Yeah, I would never know that happened. My ability to not hear NBA players' mixtapes or whatever is unparalleled.
I don't even know.
I've heard more reporter mixtapes than player mixtapes.
I don't even know
how that happened. How did that get through my filter?
Well, Dave, for the first year or so of this podcast, the closing music was always NBA players rapping. So I have heard a lifetime's worth at this point.
Listen, there's only one NBA player who's had a good rap album. And that is Shaq Diesel.
Hell yeah.
That album was awesome.
All right.
When I was 12, whatever.
Let's hear from some more snitches.
Okay, this is like day 3 of this shit. I'm calling back. I see Rambis walking around here with his nose hanging out of his mask like a fucking idiot. and he's still in here after he was touching the corn and all this shit. Palenka with all of his skullduggery still walking free while they're basically doing biological warfare in here. And you expect the season to last? You expect LeBron to still win with these assholes doing these things? Come on. Seriously. You know, if nobody takes action, I'm going to have to go to the Intercept with this, because this is bad. This is a black eye on the league. This will fail if you don't take action against these crooks, these terrorists. Please get Palenka and Randis out of here immediately.
Bonjour, this is Pierre Pamplemousse calling the NBA hotline. I am here to tell a story about my band, LCD Sound System. That stands for La Croix Deliciousness Sound System. We are playing a private party at Kissimmee, Florida. We call it Embrassez-moi, Florida, in French. I'll say they recommended 1.829 meters away from each other. So many French basketballers were there. There was Tony Parker, known for the basketball, the MVP, the fucking of the teammate wife, of Brent Barry. There was Mikael Peters, who was always standing just outside the dance floor, like he did not know where the boundaries were. And then Antoine Rigaudot, who was good at dancing for just one song. And they signed him to be a dancer longer. Anyway, I saw jazz center Rudy Gobert was there. He was touching all the microphones. He was telling the girls that they had to make the sex with him or his mother would cry. And at one point he knocked down the video screen. He says he's making the screen assist. What is that? But worst of all, he coughed directly into my pamplemousse. It was so sad. It must be reprimanded. Au revoir.
Hey, Commissioner Adam Silver. This is Brooke Lopez. And, I can't do it. But I... Alright, I never thought I would snitch on my brother before, but I'm here to snitch on him. Robin has been prank calling this hotline, and I normally wouldn't tell you because I'm a good, loyal brother, but I'm worried that if you find out, you won't let me ride on the Matterhorn. So, if you're gonna punish someone, please punish him and not me, because I need to ride on the teacups. I need to go to the tea room. I need to eat a Dole Whip. And I need to buy some mouse ears. It is so hard. Why are you making me choose the loyalty of my brother and going to Walt Disney World, the greatest place on earth? You're a monster, Adam Silver. A monster.
Hello, this is Brian Windy Windhorst calling in the tip line. I'm currently on the road from Omaha, Nebraska to Columbus, Ohio, stopping at every state capitol building on the way, but my sources tell me that there's a problem with the aggregators in the compound. The aggregators have jumped the fences. Oh, God, they're everywhere. I see them on the road. They're swarming me. They're approaching my sensible late model Subaru Outback. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity. J.R. Smith threw a bowl of chicken tortilla soup. I never told anyone. Oh, the humanity.
All right, Dave, last thing I want to ask you before we go. Who's going to win each conference?
Bucks and Lakers.
See, I... To me, I think about this, and to me, the only thing that's close, sort of, is the weird 2000 lockout season where the Knicks randomly made the finals. So I think we're getting someone random, and they're just going to get rolled. I think it'll be, like, weird. It'll be somebody weird. It's going to be, like, the Bucks rolling the Nuggets or the Rockets and or the Lakers rolling the Celtics or some shit.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it being weird. I would embrace a weird finals that does not reflect the regular season out of this just because it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would love to see Nuggets Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be a very interesting matchup, but I just don't, you know, the NBA just doesn't operate that way. Basketball is a talent game, man. And stacking talent on your roster is the fastest way to succeed. I'm just always going to lean, even in the weird circumstances, mm-hmm. going to lean to talent.
I mean, I think LeBron's going to look like more amazing than he's looked in a really long time.
Yeah.
That's my yes. prediction here is LeBron is going to have some fucking ridiculous games. Sean, what's your prediction?
I have all these romantic ideas of the Raptors taking it to the Bucks this season, but honestly, my take on the East is the Bucks have this reputation for choking in the playoffs when actually the Raptors were better on paper last year.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they were the favorite, they were like, what, two games better, three games better with Kawhi playing 60 games. And so I don't knock them that much for that series loss, especially since they lost one game in double overtime. Anyway, I just think they're way better this year, and talent's going to win out in the East. And it's very hard for me to pick against LeBron this year, so I'm also going with Lakers Bucks.
All right. Dave, please plug your newly rebranded podcast feed.
Guys, the Athletic NBA Show. We're taking over. It's like the NWO.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
That's right.
We don't watch wrestling, but we know what that is.
Yeah, that's the NBA. The NWO had that guy who sued AJ Delario, right? it's a joke about Hulk Hogan. Have you been writing anything on The Athletic, Dave?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks.
That's my Byron Allen setup.
On Thursday, we're gonna release our final outlook piece on the Delete Eight teams, and then I'm gonna be doing some previews for some of these teams that are in the bubble that don't really have much of a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So Phoenix.
Why are they there? All right.
I kind of love that Booker and Aiden are going to tear it up. That it's going to raise expectations so much with those guys. So Aiden was pretty good.
He was good this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real shame he missed those 25 games with the suspension, because a lot more people would completely change their mind about what they think he's going to be. His defense improved so much.
It was amazing.
And I said this to Vecini yesterday. I was like, if you told me after watching how much he improved from one year to the next this early in his career as a big, bigs are normally bad defensively for the first four, sometimes 5 years of their career, because there's a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. But the leap that he took defensively, and not saying he became elite or anything, but if you told me in 3 years that guy's considered one of the five best defensive centers in the league, I could say, wow. Well, I already saw him take one big leap. Maybe he's got more in him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it. But clearly the capacity to improve is there.
And, he's going to discover better masking agents for his PEDs going forward. Like, that was a real rookie mistake. And now, he should have the finest, supplements, lamb's blood, whatever that he needs to go to the next level.
Sean, is there anything you need to plug?
Nah, not really. I got some stuff on Yardbarker.
All right, and then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter @FrankieMuniz, where yesterday I finally tweeted something, which was on July 12th, I tweeted, you know when you really need to get on your computer super fast for something, but it decides to do an update that takes 3 hours? Yeah, I feel like that's every day.
Get a better computer, dude. Like a Mac.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. This was they call it a collab with Meredith Brooks, and this song is called Snitch.
Great. Then Trust the Process.
Trust the Process.
And Shut It Down. Let's all call the Snitch Hotline, I guess.
Somebody should leak the number.
I hate the bubble today. Everything I see fills CP3 with rage. Staked out the exit doors, I'm looking because maybe there's a rocket sneaking out. I'm gonna run my mouth. I don't give a fuck. I told on Jordan Bell when his jersey was untucked. I'm watching everyone in case they leave the scene. I'll make them quarantine. There's not a tale I will not tattle. I'll rat on anyone. I'm a snitch. I'm a thunder. Playoff wins. Take the under. Flops and elbows. I'm no saint. Punch Julius in the tank. I'm a star. I'm a fraud. Both choker and point guard. I'm sailing a banana boat out on the bay. So trade me once again. Like a real housewife, I'm not here to make friends. I'm calling Adam if someone is breaking curfew or doing cyber crimes. I'm not talking about assists when I say I'm dropping dimes. I'm a snitch, I'm a thunder. Playoff wins, take the under. Flops and elbows, I'm no saint. Punch Julius in the taint. I'm a star, I'm a fraud. Both choker and point guard. I'm sailing a banana boat out on the bay.
Hello, Adam. Yes, this is Chris. I saw PJ Tucker at a consignment store in Kissimmee, Florida. He was buying sneakers. Yes, I'll hold.
Just when you think I might be chilling out, I'll scream from the sideline. I'm posing nude, got a bad attitude, and I'm calling the tip line. I'm a snitch, I'm a thunder. Playoff wins, take the under. Flops and elbows, I'm no saint. Punch Julius in the taint. I'm a star, I'm a fraud. Both choker and point guard. I'm sailing a banana boat out on the bay. I'm a snitch, I'm a tease. I'll be hurt by game 3. I'm a man on a mission. Love to scream at Blake Griffin. I'm a bowler, I'm a twin. A ring I'll never win. I'm sailing a banana boat out on the bay.
Yes, Adam, this is Chris again. I saw Patrick Beverly and he wasn't wearing a mask. And he was holding something that looked like a jazz cigarette. And he was talking to Landry Shamet in an outside voice, and they were definitely inside. Yes, I'll hold again.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.